Exodus chapter 31. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. Moreover, I have appointed Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given skill to all the craftsmen to make everything I have commanded you, the tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony with the atonement cover on it, and all the other furnishings of the tent, the table and its articles, the pure gold lampstand and all its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering, and all its utensils, the basin with its stand, and also the woven garments, both the sacred garments for Aaron the priest and the garments for his sons when they serve as priests, and the anointing oil and fragrant incense for the holy place. They are to make them just as I commanded you." So we're looking at Romans chapter 12, and we thought in the start of it how Paul points out to God's mercy. And he's really been talking about God's mercy through chapters 1 to 11, full of doctrine and theology, words about God and how good God is, how great God is, and what God requires. And then he turns in the later part of his letter to more practical instructions. And he says, in view of God's mercy that I've been talking about, here's some instructions for you to put into practice. And we thought in previous weeks about sacrifice, about change, about humility. And the last one in the series was about community, which Alistair spoke on a couple of weeks ago. His theme of community very much flows in to this morning's theme in verses 6 and 8. As we should always remember when we read the scriptures, that the numbers, the verse numbers, were added afterwards. So sometimes where we break things up at the end and a new number appears, we break it up. Sometimes that breaks up the flow that the original writer put in there. So verse 6, "We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." This teamwork, different gifts, different abilities, related to different tasks, flows straight out from the idea of the church as a community. Everyone is involved, everyone's together, and everyone has things to do. Let's just flick through into Ephesians chapter 2 for a moment. First part of Ephesians chapter 2 is a wonderful description of God's grace, his mercy to us. And concluding through in verses 8, 9 and 10. "It is by grace you've been saved, through faith. This not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God's grace, his mercy towards us, followed immediately by that call to some works that God has prepared for us to do. What are these good works that God has prepared for us to do? As a general overview, we could say the good works are proclaiming the love and the truth of God in deeds and words. This is the commission that we have as Christians, the commission that we have as the church. Jesus says, go and make disciples. Make new Christians and make Christians, more mature Christians. That's making disciples. And that will involve different things. Sometimes the spoken word, sometimes the demonstrated love of God. These are the good works that Paul has in mind as he writes in Ephesians, to do the work that God has prepared for us. So let's think a little bit about teams. T-E-A-M. Together, everyone achieves more. Maybe a twee little saying to give the meaning about team, but I think it contains quite a useful truth, really. Together, everyone achieves more. The sum of the parts can actually be greater, because working together, there's what scientists would call a synergistic effect, where it's greater than just adding up the individual parts. If you work in an office environment or a teamwork project work environment, you might have done something called Belbin's team roles. He's some chap, I don't know whether he'd be a psychologist or something like that, that analysed the different personality types in teams and came up with 12 different roles that people play in teams. The people who are good at random ideas that help to form a team, what a team does, or the people that are good at the detail and checking that everything's going right, the people that are good at encouraging the project team as it goes along. But 12 different roles that he identified to make teams work well. Or maybe some of you are interested in sport, and many sports are team sports, aren't they? Like football. Different positions in football. The goalkeeper is not expected to score all the goals. He doesn't usually take the corners, because people have different skills and specialities within the football team. Or maybe a relay team, where they might have a very similar skill, running fast, maybe in a running relay, but they do it at a different time to each other, and one takes over from the next. But it's still a team. It reminds me of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul writes about the fact that one had sowed the seed of the gospel and another had watered the seed of the gospel. So the work of the gospel sometimes can be a teamwork in a chronological sequence, one starting and another taking over afterwards, but maybe doing similar kinds of things. Let's look also at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In Romans 12, Paul mentions the body in verses 4 and 5, and then goes on to, in 6 and 8, different gifts and abilities and skills and tasks in the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he starts off talking about the roles and the gifts, and then he goes on to talk about the church as a body. So you see the two are quite related in linking the fact that the church is one body with many different parts, and there are different skills and abilities that are involved in it. So 1 Corinthians 12, and reading from the first verse. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. So Exodus chapter 31, Romans 12, verses 6 to 8, 1 Corinthians 12, here that we've just read, they mention a wide variety of skills, talents, special abilities. When you look at those things, some appear to be quite natural abilities. Doing woodwork, weaving, teaching. They're quite natural. Others seem definitely supernatural. Speaking in tongues, giving a message of prophecy, praying for healing. Natural abilities, supernatural abilities. But also, if you think carefully about the text, you'll see there are supernaturally enhanced natural abilities, so that the Spirit of God takes natural gifts and enhances them for God's purposes. We hear in these texts that these gifts, abilities, and talents are given by God. We just drop back into Exodus for a moment. 31 and verse 3. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge. And then in verse 6 as well, the second half of that verse. Also, I have given skill to all the craftsmen to make everything I have commanded you. God gives skills and abilities to us. Same in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. There are different kinds of gift, but the same Spirit. God has given these gifts by his Spirit. We all have gifts. Some people sometimes think, well, what can I contribute? But this suggests that we all have gifts. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one, just as he determines. He gives gifts to each one. Not to a few, but to each one. To each one as he determines. And all the roles are important. You think of a clock, you might think, well, the hands on the clock, they're obviously important because they point to the time. What about the little pin in the middle that holds the hands in place? Take that away, and what are the hands going to do then? Or the little screw on the back that holds the battery compartment in place? If it pings off and the battery comes out, what are the hands going to do then? Sometimes we think that the very upfront, obvious gifts are the important ones. But actually, little things behind the scenes, little things that can seem insignificant at first, can be so, so important in the overall teamwork that goes on in God's work. As Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 12 to talk about the body, he talks in there about the fact that no part can say, well, I'm more important. You know, that part's not very important, but I am. No, the whole body is important. I might just say also that these spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, there are some in the church, I don't mean QBC, in the church in general, who would say that these supernatural gifts were only for the first age of the church. I don't find that in Scripture. I don't find that a compelling argument. Paul does talk in 1 Corinthians 13 about love, but he's not saying, well, love is more important than the gifts. He's saying that the gifts must be used in love. You know, the gifts without love are nothing, but with love, that's how it should be. And that's why Paul writes that chapter on love in between 12 and 14, where he talks about the supernatural gifts that he wants to give to his church. And if we don't see those gifts in action very much, then perhaps that's a prayer point for us all. Lord, give us your gifts. That she says in verse 31, eagerly desire the greater gifts. Eagerly desire gifts from God to be even more thoroughly equipped to serve him. And I've just added another point that I thought as I was watching the children do that activity early on, but it wasn't just children, was it? It was some slightly older ones as well. They had different gifts that they were able to use in that task that Jean set them. And the little ones were well able to crawl under the chair, but Eloise would have struggled to touch the beam. I think she would. I've never seen her do any jumping practice, but I imagine she would have struggled to touch the beam. But fast forward 15 years, Eloise may choose to be the one touching the beam and someone else to crawl under the chair. Not you, Pete. You probably won't be crawling under the chair. But gifts may change with time, gifts and abilities. We shouldn't necessarily get stuck, oh, this is what I do. This is what I've always done. It may change with time. As we grow as Christians, or as naturally as we grow older as people, the things that we do to serve God may change. So let's just think a little bit further about this, the purpose for teamwork. We did think earlier on about Ephesians 2:10. God wants us to work as a team, to do good works, works of the gospel, making his love known in word and deed. We can interpret that very individualistically and think, oh, well, you know, God's prepared something in advance for me to do. But actually, the text is in the plural. He's created something for us to do. So he's created something for his church team to do. We identify our part in that, but it's a collective thing. It's his team that he wants to achieve his goals. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says that the gifts are given for the common good. They're given for the benefit of the whole church, to build up the church, the gifts that Paul's talking about there. They're not given to an individual so that they can think, oh, I'm a super Christian, I am, how much greater I am than you. They're given for the common good, to benefit the whole, not for personal gain, not for pride. In Ephesians chapter 4, there's another little list of gifts. These seem to be leadership gifts in the church: apostles and prophets, evangelists, teachers and pastors. But again, if you read what's around there, it's not just individual gifts of leaders, but these leaders are to equip others for gifts of service. So if there's an evangelist in the church, what gift of service do you think they're going to prepare people for? They're going to prepare people for evangelism. So an evangelist, yes, they will do evangelism and they'll be good at evangelism and they'll perhaps head up evangelistic activities. But part of their gifting will be to encourage others in evangelism as well and help others to do evangelism, because we're all called to share our faith and make God's love known to others. And then in 1 Peter chapter 4, it says that we should use our gifts, and in doing so, we're administering God's grace. What a wonderful privilege that we should remember that when we serve in the church, and that's not just in internal church activities, when we serve in God's church, we are ministering God's grace to people. We're partners with God in the work that we do. So actually the team isn't just us human beings. The team includes God. And when we partner with him, we minister his grace to people. Sometimes there's a little parody about sport. You can imagine the sporting stadium, and there's 40,000 people desperately needing exercise, watching 22 people desperately needing a rest. In church, they sometimes talk, I think it's usually enumerated as the 80-20 principle, that 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. In God's team, we've all got a job to do. We've all got roles to fill, and we should all be playing our part. God's team is not a spectator sport. Of course, I'm not just talking about Corn Baptist Church, because it may be that some people will have roles that God wants them to fulfill outside. This morning, Alistair is preaching at Aylston Baptist Church. Others from church do preach other places. You may be involved in some other project somewhere else. I bumped into Brian at Rothley Baptist Church on Monday because he was helping with the food bank there. So I'm not saying you've got to do something in QBC, but in God's team, everyone's got a role to play. Are you doing something in God's team? Rick Warren is not everybody's cup of tea. American pastor, purpose-driven church, purpose-driven life, author. But I think he says something interesting about how we might think through what God wants us to do in service for him. And he uses the word shape to think about that. What spiritual gifts has God given you? And there he'd be thinking particularly of some of those supernatural gifts. So has God particularly enabled you in those areas? What's on your heart? What are your passions? If God has given you something that's on your heart, it may be that God's leading you to be putting that into practice and doing it. Not it's on your heart and you're moaning because nobody's doing it. It's on your heart because God wants you to be the one who's doing it. Abilities. So alongside the spiritual gifts, also, what are your natural abilities? What are the things you can do? Think about them. Can you put them into use in God's team, in God's work? What's your personality? Because that affects the things we can do. That links in with the Belbins team roles that I mentioned earlier on. It's different personalities are sometimes suited to different types of activities. And experience as well. What's your experience? Because again, that can, it's not always the case, but it can lead in to the things that God wants you to do. I say it can, but not always, because God sometimes chooses the inexperienced, because by his equipping, he can demonstrate that it's his strength and not just human experience that accomplishes the task. That's one of the things that was part of my call to ministry, because I felt for some time before going to train for ministry that was in the future for me. But part of the call to do it now rather than later was from the story of Joseph. And he was only a young man when God called him and started training him. He didn't have to gain lots of life experience first, because God by his Spirit can supply what is lacking. Have you heard the well-known phrase, if a job's worth doing, it's worth doing badly? If a job's worth doing, it's worth doing badly. Rather than not at all. You've heard about square pegs in round holes. You don't really want that, do you? Square pegs in round holes. But isn't a square peg in a round hole better than no peg at all? Sometimes we need to stand in the gap. There isn't an ideal person to do the job. If we see there's a gap, we might need to fill it for a while. Alongside that, you might pray that the Lord raises up someone who's the right shape for that role. But sometimes we may need to stand in the gap. It may be uncomfortable. I'd rather someone else does that. I've already mentioned calling and equipping a little bit, that God, by his Spirit, can fill up what is lacking in our personal abilities. The Great Commission comes with that kind of idea. In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, wait for the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and then you'll be my witnesses. And Paul writes to Timothy, fan into flame the gift that you've been given. Have you got a gift that's kind of just like the pilot light in the boiler? You know you've got that gift, but you're just keeping it for some other time. And the Lord says, fan it into flame. Develop it, practice it, make it stronger. Allow God to use it to the full. God calls us into a team. We respond to his mercy by looking for those things that he calls us to do. What's he equipped us to do? What will he equip us to do by his Spirit? Are you playing your part in God's team? This morning, this week, this month, are you playing your part?